be good or when things are going good, but God is good all the time. No matter what we do, no matter how many times we mess up or we turn our backs on him or doubt his word or if we totally ignore him, God is good. Yeah? God is good. He's always there for us. You know, Romans 5:8 tells us that that's you and me, were yet sinners, what did Christ do? Did he moan at us? Did he turn his back on us? Did he say he wasn't interested in us? Did he cast us off? No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, yeah? He gave his life for us, which is absolutely fantastic. And if you don't get anything else out of today's sermon, God is good, yeah? I think he's been trying to say that to us this morning, don't you? God is good in every situation, in every circumstance. For those who are just here for the first time today, we're doing a series on the founding fathers, and we've been looking at, the last few weeks, we've been looking at the family of Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Rebekah, and Mark, a couple of weeks ago, christened it Canonation Street, instead of Coronation Street, Canonation Street, because the characters, there's so much intrigue going on, there's so much twisting and turning, lies, cheating, manipulation, there's all sorts of stuff going on. So that's what it was christened, and it's all been happening. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 28. That's the chapter we're looking at today. And we'll just read these verses together. Genesis 28. So Isaac called for Jacob. This is after, I'll just give you the sort of insight into where we are here. Obviously, he tricked his brother and his father for the blessing. You can read it in the previous chapter. And basically, Esau wasn't happy, his brother, and so Jacob had to really flee for his life. So before he went, Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you, and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there, and that he'd blessed him. He commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and gone to Paddan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, the sister of Naboth, and the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he'd placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. If you haven't known the story before, then I just urge you to either listen to the podcast or the previous sermons or just read it for yourself. Have a look at the story. But we're coming into this story, as I say now, where the two brothers, Jacob and Esau, have fallen out. Esau's not at all happy because for the second time he's been deceived by Jacob. Jacob's received the blessing and it's time for him to run. He needs to make a move. And so Isaac, his father, calls him and blesses him again. It's great to get blessed, isn't it? Really great to get blessed. Never say, I don't want to be blessed by God more than once. Jacob got blessed the first time by mistake. The second time, yeah, I'll go back for a bit more. Get blessed up by God. It's the best thing. And Isaac said to him, look, whatever you do, don't make the same mistake your brothers made. Don't marry a Canaanite woman. We don't know what these non-Canaanite women were like, but obviously, if you read in the previous chapters, they were causing some grief to Rebecca. She said, I can't stand these women. They're doing my head in. And I don't know what it was. It was their approach to life and their obviously religious beliefs, the way they behaved. Their standards were totally different than Jacob and Rebecca and Isaac and Esau. And he said, whatever you do, don't marry a Canaanite woman. And for once, it appears that Jacob decided, oh, I better obey that. That wouldn't be a bad idea. Go off, he said, to your ancestors, to my father and my mother, and go there to your mum's mum and get a wife from there. And so he decided to obey. He was on the run again, but at least he was looking to obey. Things may be slightly on the turn for him. And even Esau was trying to get back in the good books. Esau realized he'd made a mistake. He'd upset his mum. Things were going bad. He'd married these wrong women. And so he decided he'd marry somebody. It was a better choice as well. He wanted to get back in the good books. And so in this story now, we see that they set off and Jacob meets with God. And in verse 13, we see this. It says, in this dream that he had, and with a ladder going up and down, he was resting on a pillow. Seems a strange choice, that, doesn't it? Have you ever tried resting on a stone? But I don't know, but something was in it. As he rested on that stone, he must have fell soundly asleep, and he saw this vision, and God speaking to him. And this is what God said. He said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and they will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. God made the promise that he'd given to his grandfather Abraham, his father Isaac. He was now giving it to Jacob. The promise from God that all the people of the world would be blessed through Jacob. Was he having a dream? Was this in your dreams? Had God got this wrong? Had God made a mistake? Are you kidding? Through Jacob? Have you got the right guy? But then God goes on and says, I'm with you. I'll watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. Something had happened here to Jacob. Don't know how old he was, but for the very first time, he'd met God for himself. Wasn't living on his grandfather's blessing or his father's blessing. God was blessing him. This is for you, Jacob. It's all on you. You matter to me. Face to face with God in this dream. And all of a sudden, he woke up. No wonder he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't aware of it. I don't suppose he'd have gone to sleep if he'd known what was going to happen. He'd have been probably terrified. How awesome is this place? He said, there was something special about this place. And it was Karen Adams who actually sent an email to Mike this week. She'd been reading up ahead of the story. And she'd found this at the bottom of a commentary. And it said this, and it was by F.B. Mayer, who says this. It says, Jacob may have thought that God was local. Now he'd found him to be omnipresent. Every lonely spot was now filled with the angels. Where he was in that place wasn't a very pleasant place. Probably wild animals. It was probably a bit of a dull desert place. But Jacob found God Not just somebody who was just in one place, but someone that was everywhere, could meet him everywhere, and he did. And you know, when we meet God, things change. The place was Lutz where he was, and we don't really know. There's lots of different conjecture on what that means. But basically, it was changed then and now to that Bethel, the house of God, the dwelling place of God. Things change. And that place changed. And I don't know where you are today in your relationship with God. I'm talking to myself as well. Are you on the mountaintop? Or are you in the valley? Great, that song mentions the valley. But everywhere God is good, he's there. Are you in a desert place? People say this Lutz was like a desert place. Or are you at the oasis? Are you just in that relaxed mode? Are you on the beach? Is it tough? Is it good? But wherever you are, God wants a personal encounter, a personal meeting with you and me today. Whoever we are, whoever we think we are, yes, you and me, God wants a relationship with us. Some of you might say, well, in your dreams. Well, it could be, yeah. God interested in me? Well, he is interested in you. And it might even be in your dreams. The Bible tells us that God will speak to us sometimes, us older guys anyway, through our dreams. Mike's been talking about us telling our stories, and all of us have got different stories about how we met God, where we met God, how it happened, and it's all different. And God wants to meet you where you are, in your circumstance, in your situation. All of us in different ways. You see, if it had been you or me, we'd have never picked out Jacob. We'd have written him off. We wouldn't have wasted time going through that fantastic dream and the vision. And yes, we'd have just said, sorry, mate, you've let me down more than once. You know, you're a liar. You're a cheat. You're a deceiver. You're untrustworthy. You've gone too far, mate. Sorry, and you're running away. But it was through Jacob that promise came, yeah? The promise that through Jacob and his lineage, all peoples of the earth would be blessed. That's you and me. Jacob just wasn't just a nobody. He was God's chosen instrument. However far gone, he thought he'd gone away from God. God chose him and picked him up. We spoke last week about the prodigal son. It's a story in the New Testament of two sons, yeah? And one son just ran away with half his wealth and went away and wasted it and threw it all away, lived with the pigs. That's how desperate he was because he'd run out of money. The other son stayed at home and worked hard. But we read that the father never forgot that son who went away. I think we'd have been saying, sorry, son, you're not welcome here. Don't come back here. You've had your money. You've had your chance. You've blown it. But it tells us the father was daily looking, searching for that son. And it's exactly the same with you and me. No matter how far we think we've gone away from God, no matter how we feel we've let him down, God's for you. And we read the story that that father went and put his arms around that smelly son and brought him back into the family again. God wants to do exactly the same with us. God cares for us. He cares for you and me. And God is good all the time. God is good all the time. No matter what your situation or circumstance is, God is good all the time. When you don't get a reply about your job application, God is good all the time. When it's 7 months down the road, God is good all the time. Yeah? I've got to say that to myself. That's personal, because that's the truth of where I am. But God is good all the time. I'm 61 years of age, and he hasn't suddenly said, Dave, you're on the scrap heap. You know, I've finished with you. All that was a waste of time. No, God is good all the time. If God can use Jacob, he can use you, he can use me. He is good all the time. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, yeah? For each one of you here today, young or old, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He hasn't changed. He's the same. Are you aware of God's presence today? Jacob said, surely God's in this place. All of a sudden, he realized, are you aware of God's presence with you? Am I aware of God's presence with me? You see, when we become Christians, the Bible tells us that God comes to live with us through his Holy Spirit. When he left the earth and he went away from his disciples, he said, look, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a paraclete, someone to come alongside, someone to be with you. It says in Corinthians, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, we hear of Jacob here, he built something that was going to be, he thought, almost a dwelling place of God. But God says, look, I don't live in a house made of stones anymore. I live in our hearts. He's come in by his Spirit. And if you've asked Jesus to come into your life today, then he's with you all the time. Yeah? All the time he dwells within you by his Spirit. Famous verse, Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him. A lovely word, sup. That's a Steve Hebden word, that. Eat with him, be with him, share with him, and he with me. Yeah? God, if you've asked him, has come in. He's come in, and he's come in to stay. And he promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That promise that he made there to Jacob, we read that promise. He says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. And we can claim that promise. I can claim that promise for my life. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said to his disciples before he went, lo, I am with you some of the time. Lo, I am with you when you're in the service on a Sunday. I'll be with you when things are going good. No, lo, I am with you always. God is good all the time. Every time, on every occasion, without exception, he says, to the ends of the age. And the end of the age hasn't come yet. God is good. He's still with us. In every situation, every circumstance. I don't know if any of you saw that guy in Iran, that pastor in Iran, did you see this week? That basically he's had a death sentence passed on him. He's been in jail for 2 years. And basically he's had a death sentence passed this week. I think he's 28 years of age. I may have that wrong. What's he feeling like? We think we've got problems. What's that guy feeling like? Is God with him? I bet he's a little bit like a Paul. I can imagine he's like a Paul in that prison cell. He'll know the goodness of God. Because all around the world, people are praying with him. People are caring for him, that he'll be justice will come. But he'll know God is good all the time. And it's just a wake-up call, certainly to me, that, yeah, my problem is just like a flick of the finger. It's nothing compared to people whose lives are on the line. But so often we just go down the pan, we go down the tubes, we give up, we moan, we groan. I was made up when, I think it was Steve said last week, that their church are on a 40-day fast. The 40-day fast is not a food fast. It's an anti-negative fast. They're not doing negative for 40 days. They're only doing positive. Wouldn't that be great? Start doing the positive. I can be the negative. The news is the negative. Wouldn't it be good if we had just a positive day news? But God is good all the time. God is good. He's with us. He cares for us. Pray for that guy in Iran. We'll pray for him at the end. If you want his name, I'll look his name up when I go. He's not just a nobody, no name. He's a child of God. He matters. Yeah, could have been you, could be me. How would we cope in that situation? But we need to know that God is good. We need the truth of God's word in our heart to know that he's there. And then, not only did God promise Jacob, but he also provided for him. And we see there in verse 20 onwards that then Jacob, having met God and found God, made a vow saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob there, he saw the prosperity of God, and I know we'll see that in future weeks when we come back to this story. But if God be with me and will watch over me, I don't think that was a negative thing. It was a confidence thing. He was saying, I know God is with me. He wasn't saying, if you'll be with me, God, maybe, maybe. He knew God was going to be with him. The promise had been made by God. But he knew he was on a journey. And we're all on a journey. Ups and downs, ins and outs. We're all on journeys. You don't know where God is going to take you, but we know for certain that we have the provision of God. God is going to provide for us. It's been great that Emma's got a job this week. Yes. How long have you been out of work, Emma? 18 months. Wow. Lord, I don't know if I could cope with 18 months. 7's been a nightmare. 18 months, and God's provided for Emma. Had God ever left? No. God's always been there. God provides. He's in control. Sometimes he has to teach us those things. God provides. We know that God will provide for us. And some verses in Matthew chapter 6, from verse 25 onwards, you know these verses. It says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." We've had a lot about worry, haven't we, and fear. But it gets into us. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." I had to go and change my shirt this morning. I put this shirt on. It's a silk shirt somebody bought me, but I must have put it in the wrong wash, and it shrunk a little bit. And you know, I just wasn't comfortable with it, you know. And I was all panicky. Oh, I can't go and preach in this. It just doesn't fit. I feel, you know, I had to go and change my shirt and put this. It's a bit more in it, you know. I haven't lost weight. I've just got a bigger shirt on. But you know, we can get a bit obsessed, can't we? About what we wear, and you know, doesn't seem to be the same these days. It was when I grew up, there was fashion statements, you know, with mods and all this type of stuff and Beatles stuff and whatever. But you can just wear what you like today. Don't know why I've said that, never mind. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? What is the point? What is the point? There's no point in worrying. There really isn't. As you get a bit older, I think you begin to realize that there's no point. The pressures on young people today to achieve, to get results, you know, if you don't, the pressures is just immense, and it's growing and growing, and the fear of the future. Don't let it trap you. As Christians, let's get above that. Let's put God first, because the next verse says this. It says, "Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well." Do you know that? If that's just a tremendous verse. And for you young people, just seek ye first the kingdom of God. I know you're thinking about your futures and your careers and your degrees and your jobs and your marriages and your relationships, but in everything, put God first. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Bring him into it first. Is this relationship right? Is this job right? Is this career path right? Is this place where I am, is it right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will come. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The promises that were made to Jacob are promises we can have today. The promises that God will be with us, that God will care for us, that God will provide for us, yeah? That God will never leave us are there. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is good all the time. Let's pray. I don't know where you are this morning with God, but I just know that God just wants to meet with us, each one of us, wherever we are, and whatever our circumstances are. As Mike said before, maybe you've never even met God. And you'd like to meet him today. Then you can just open your heart and say, "God, will you just come into my heart? Will you come into my life? I need to know you personally. I need to know your omnipresence." That means God's presence all the time. "I need to know you, Lord." Maybe some of you, as Mike has said on many, many occasions, you know about God, but you don't actually know him. You're not in that close relationship with him. then why don't I ask him right now, Lord, I want that depth. I want that face-to-face with you. And then maybe some of you are in that position where you need God's provision. Maybe you need a job, you need finance, you need food, clothes, I don't know. Maybe you've got concerns about the future. Why not come to God and just say to him, God, you're good all the time. You've got my life in the palm of your hands. You know the plans you have for me. You're taking me to where you want me to go. Just in this moment, just respond as you need to respond.